Hello, my name is Ed Frawley. I own Learburg. I've been working on a project for a long time to produce a series of little animated videos on working dogs. And specifically for me, my interest lies in detector dog work. I was a canine handler in our local sheriff's department and worked for a drug task force for 10 years, many years ago. But I still love that work. So these little animated videos are going to try and take complicated subjects and drill them down and make them a lot easier for brand new dog trainers to understand. So this is the first of a number of them that I'm going to put together. And if you're like me and you're interested in detector work, be it in law enforcement or civilian scent work, we have a really good online course that I did with my friend Kevin Sheldo. And we're also going to have a 3-day seminar here with Kevin the first week in November of 2025. We'll videotape that seminar and make it available to anybody that's interested in learning about detector work.
You know, when you see an elite detection dog working, it's so easy to think you're just watching a perfectly obedient animal. But what if I told you that the very best canines, they aren't trained to follow commands at all? They're actually trained to think for themselves. Today, we're going to break down the science of how you build a truly reliable detection dog, one that's pretty much immune to human screw-ups. Okay, let's get into it. This right here is the big question in any kind of high-level animal training. How do we really know the animal is solving the problem and not just, you know, reading us? And this question is so critical because for a detection dog, a wrong answer can have life or death consequences. It all comes down to avoiding one really famous problem.
And that leads us straight into our first section, the clever Hans problem. Now, this isn't just some quirky little story from history. It's the absolute central challenge that all modern canine training is designed to beat.
So meet clever Hans. Picture this. It's the early 1900s, and this horse is a global superstar. Why? Because his owner would ask him math problems, and Hans would tap out the right answer with his hoof. Seriously, he could add, subtract, he could even do square roots. It really looked like proof of some kind of incredible animal intelligence. Well, of course, there was a catch. A psychologist figured it out. Hans wasn't doing math. He was an absolute master at reading people. He'd start tapping his hoof and just watch for the tiniest unconscious shift in his trainer's posture. A little lean forward in anticipation, a microscopic straightening up when he hit the right number, and bam, that was his cue to stop. This is what we now call the clever Hans effect, the huge risk of an animal responding to our unconscious signals instead of the actual task. And that right there, that's the whole ballgame. It perfectly explains why modern canine training is so obsessed with making the dog independent. As trainer Kevin Sheldahl puts it, the entire system is built to prevent the handler from accidentally becoming clever Hans's owner. The dog has to make its own decisions, based only on what it smells, not on what a handler hopes or expects. So, if that's the problem, what's the solution? How do you build a dog that really thinks for itself? Well, you flip the script. You stop focusing on making it obedient. Instead, you focus on unleashing this powerful, instinctual drive it already has. This shift from obedience to drive, it's everything. And I mean, this is a huge mindset shift. Think about it. Normal obedience training is all about pleasing the handler. Sit, stay, you get a good boy. But a drive-focused approach? It's completely different. It has nothing to do with the handler. It's all about making the work itself, the hunt for that odor, the single most satisfying thing in the dog's entire world. What's really going on here is rooted in what we call intrinsic behavior. For predator, the whole process of hunting, you know, the searching, the chasing, the capturing, is hardwired in its brain to be intensely rewarding. It's a subconscious compulsion. The training doesn't have to create this drive, it just has to tap into it. And that, right there, is the secret sauce. You're not trying to bribe the dog with a treat to go find something it couldn't care less about. You're teaching it that a specific target odor is the prey. The search itself becomes its own reward. The dog works with this incredible intensity because the hunt feels amazing, not because it's waiting for you to say, good dog. Okay, so that's the what. We've got this incredible, raw instinct. But the how? How do you actually shape that instinct into a precise, reliable skill? Like finding explosives or drugs? Well, the answer comes from the science of learning, specifically something called operant conditioning. Look, at the end of the day, operant conditioning is just a fancy way of saying something really simple. Behaviors that lead to good things get repeated, and behaviors that don't, well, they just fade away.
It's the scientific framework that lets trainers systematically shape what a dog does without yelling commands, letting the dog figure out for itself what works. The easiest way to think about it is with this simple little model, A, B, C. A is the antecedent. That's the cue or the situation, like the smell of a target odor. B is the behavior, the action the dog takes, like scratching it where the smell is coming from. And C is the consequence, the outcome, like suddenly getting its favorite toy. The dog quickly learns that A plus B equals C. And this next part, this is probably the most important distinction in this whole process. It's the difference between a reward and a reinforcer. A reward is something given by the handler. It makes the handler the center of the universe. But a reinforcer is something the dog feels like it gets for itself. The dog scratches at the source, and its prey, the toy, magically appears right there at the source. This makes the behavior powerful, not the handler. The handler just becomes the chauffeur.
So what does this look like in the real world? It leads to a system where the handler's number one job is to just get out of the way and let the dog teach itself.
I love this quote from Sheldahl because it just nails it. The whole system is designed for self-training. The handler isn't a teacher giving a lecture. They're more like an architect, creating an environment where the dog can discover the right answers all on its own. How? Well, through a couple of brilliant, really simple tools. And it starts with something you'd never expect, a simple milk crate. The scented toy, the prey, is put inside. The dog can see it, it can smell it, but it just can't get to it. And that simple bit of frustration builds this intense focus and perseverance. All the dog's natural attempts to get the toy, scratching, biting, staring, those are the raw behaviors that eventually get shaped into its final alert. Okay, so once the dog has that intensity, the next step is to make sure it's using its nose, not its eyes. They move to these whiteboards. The scented toy is now hidden in one of several identical holes. Now the dog has to use its nose to pinpoint the source. This is where the dog truly learns to trust its sense of smell above everything else. And, just as important, the handler learns to trust the dog.
And this brings us to what might be the toughest rule for the human to follow. If the dog is failing, you don't help it. You don't point or nudge it in the right direction. You step back and you analyze the setup. Did I make the problem too hard? Is the wind wrong? Is something distracting? The responsibility is always on the human to structure the problem so the dog can solve it.
All right, so we've got this amazing, self-motivated, independently thinking dog. But how can we be absolutely sure it's going to work when it really counts? Well, that's where the science of validation comes in.
All right, check out this number, 90%. Any guesses what that is? Well, that's the absolute minimum standard, the floor, for a canine to get certified. According to the official guidelines, like the ones from NIST, a canine team has to correctly identify the target odor at least 90% of the time. But here's the real kicker. They are allowed zero false alerts, not one. A false alert is an automatic fail. The standard is absolute, rock-solid precision.
And to make absolutely sure there's no Clever Hans stuff going on, the testing has to be blind. In what's called a single blind search, the handler has no idea where the target is. But the gold standard, that's a double blind search. That's when nobody in the search area, not the handler, not the evaluators walking around with them, knows where the target is hidden. That makes it literally impossible for the handler to give any cues, conscious or not. The dog is truly 100% on its own.
And that's how we come full circle. Through this whole scientific, methodical process, the goal is finally realized. The handler is no longer the boss. They're not the commander. They are simply the chauffeur for a four-legged expert whose only job is to get that expert to the search area and then trust its incredible nose and its independent, scientifically proven decisions.
Which kind of leaves you with a bigger question, doesn't it? This whole system is about rigorously removing human bias and ego to let an expert do its job. So if this science can create a more reliable canine, where else in our lives could we benefit from taking a step back and trusting in a system of truly independent verification?
In closing this out, if you're a new trainer and you want to learn the right way how to train detector dogs, I would recommend you go into our online courses and sign up for Kevin's course that I helped him do a couple of years ago. It's got 300 short videos in it. There's 19 different modules, and each module has different segments inside the module. And it's a total of 8 hours of filming with a lot of written content that goes with it. It's not a cheap course, but I will guarantee you It's the best way, the right way, to learn how to train detector dogs. There's just no question about it. You can't argue the experience that we've had over the last 35, 40 years. And I wish I would have had this information when I started doing it back in 1985. So you're able to catch up on a lot of years of experience here if you want to learn how to do it correctly.